What a tremendous privilege to be with you, brothers, today. Thank you for your willingness to call. Thank the Lord for your wives to support you in the commitment that you're making. It's no small task to enter into the leadership of the church. You're working with some great men at the helm, but each of you are going to be bearing heavy burdens. There are times you're going to say, "Why did I say yes?" The reason you said yes is not because someone asked you. It's because the Spirit of God has called you to do a task. Thank you for being willing. Now, when you begin to think about the leadership role that you have, one of the things that ought to be really deeply in your mind right now is an absolute sense of, I can't do this. If you are coming to this with the confidence, well, man, I've been a success in my career. I've made all kinds of accomplishments. I have a reputation that's unparalleled in my field, or I've got years of just faithful, methodical confidence. You're not ready to do this job. You are in a supernatural environment. This is not the day-to-day world. I believe everything's supernatural, but when you are working in the church, you are coming into the arena where heaven and eternity and the supernatural forces of Satan and hell himself are regularly in conflict. This is a supernatural reality. And who is sufficient for these things? That's what Paul said. Who is sufficient for this? He didn't think he was. And if he didn't feel that he was, how can we think we are? Do we not say with the Lord Jesus in John 15, without me, you can do nothing? Isn't that the basis of our theology? Our Reformed theology says we have inability to do anything of value in the spiritual realm. We won't boast in gifts. We're saying that. We boast in Christ, who is working in us. Without him, you can do nothing. In fact, you couldn't even have come to faith in him. Our Reformed theology says, no man can come unto me unless the Father in heaven draws him. There is a supernatural work that happens in regeneration when the Spirit of God breaks the shackles of sin, takes away the blinders, gives a new life, gives us the breath of the Spirit to cry out, Lord Jesus, I need a Savior. And yes, our sanctification, this process of becoming like Christ, is because the Spirit is drawing us to Him. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness unto him. These things are known because they are revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And so with that simple reminder of our Reformed theology, the core of our belief, salvation is all of God, nothing of us. Please listen to this reading in Luke chapter 5. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. I love this story because this is the calling of a man who is absolutely a success in his field. Experienced. He had done it for years. He was in the business and he survived by it. He was so successful he even had partners. He had his own equipment. He was able to take care of his family just fine. And this person who had this spiritual message, he said, well, sure, I have time in my life to hear a little preaching here and there. So he let him do some preaching for him. And when he said, well, listen, let's go out to the deeper water, he said, sure, I don't mind showing off a little bit with my boat and my skills. But then he said, okay, I want you to do some fishing for me. And now this is when his expertise came over. He said it very politely, but in his mind, let's translate what Peter was saying. So, Jesus, you're a pretty good preacher. You're quite an impressive man, but you don't know anything about fishing. I've been out all night. I've been working hard. And I, who make a living and a great success at fishing, caught absolutely nothing. This is a waste of time. But somehow, out of respect for his teacher that was starting to make an impression on him, he said, all right. And then this extraordinary miracle happened where the catch of fish was so great it almost sank two ships. Nothing like what he'd ever seen before. And that story has its own power, but I want you to capture the words that Peter said to the Lord. The Lord was recruiting Peter. The Lord was calling him to be, if you will, an elder, a deacon, a disciple, an apostle, a leader. He said, depart from me, O Lord. I'm a sinful man. That should be your spirit today as you come to your training. You should say, Lord, you should have nothing to do with me. I miss the mark everywhere. To sin means you can't hit the target. You know, there's this bearskin that's crawling around the reader's bed and breakfast. I woke up in the morning, had to make sure it wasn't coming after me. And I heard how Harry was out there when he took his rifle and he got this thing. He shot straight at it. It's right on the mark. Well, you know, when it comes to spiritual things, we don't hit the mark. We don't take down the bear. We don't succeed. We miss the mark always. In everything, we fall short. You are unworthy to be in this place. If it were up to God's true standard, this place should be empty. No one should be in any of these seats, in any of these training sessions. Do you know why you're here? Because the Word of God that Jesus was teaching says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. You have absolutely nothing to boast about by being honored to be a deacon or an elder or a pastoral staff member. You don't deserve this job. You're not worthy of it. You're a sinful man, and the Lord should say to you, go away. But you know what? That's the beauty of the gospel. This supernatural realm that you are training to serve in is that God does things upside down. He doesn't go to the high priest and all his regalia and say, this is a man that's going to serve me. He takes humble and illiterate people and he turns them into world-changing individuals. Not because of themselves, because of Him. Without Him, we can do nothing. You could not come to Him unless He drew you. You are a sinful man. You know, in the world, we have often heard in the business world about the Peter principle. I'd like to say I resemble that remark. My name is Peter. You rise to your highest level of incompetence. Here I'm on the head of a seminary, and I'm utterly incompetent. Harry's almost fired me every year. And he says, well, we do believe in grace. We'll give you one more chance. So that's why I'm here one more time. But you know, the Bible doesn't believe in the Peter principle. It believes in the St. Peter principle. You know what St. Peter said? You don't rise to your highest level of incompetence. You start there. You're always incompetent. You're always one sin away from destroying everything that's holy and sacred. And that's why you need to be led by the Spirit. That's why your life is so vitally important to be grounded in the Scriptures. And that's why it's so important that you pray in every sphere of your life, Lord, you should depart from me, except for your grace. If we were to go back, we don't have time to do it, but if we put it in context, we can understand in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus is healing a man with an unclean demon. Say, well, of course, Jesus has a reason to do that. He deals in spiritual things. We understand he would cast out a demon. And then we read after that, he heals many. Well, we understand Jesus would do that. He's a healer. He's the creator. And then he preaches in the synagogues. We say, well, we expect Jesus to do that. He's a teacher. But now Jesus is coming right into the business world, the place where Peter is competent. Jesus says, I belong here too. And I'm telling you how to do this. Pay attention. I'm telling you what to do. And Peter said, Lord, you're going a little bit too far now. You're meddling in my life. And guess what? He says, well, maybe, Lord, you even belong here too. And so my final thought as I leave you is, not only are you incompetent and don't deserve this job except for grace, if you really believe that prayer, you're going to say, Lord, I'm even incompetent in what I'm really good at. Where I'm famous, where I'm respected, where I'm making a difference, where my reputation is known. Jesus, I got to hear what you're telling me even here. And that's the unique and extraordinary principle of our Presbyterian government system. We just don't take people and make them popes, then they're pastors. We take workaday people who are great leaders, who have a great reputation in the community, people who are gifted, who are talented. We say, we want you to know you are a minister too. And you minister out there in the world with the name of Christ. And so as you go out, your calling is not only to work in this unique supernatural sphere called the church, but you go out to work in the supernatural sphere called the kingdom of God. And it's everywhere. And it's what you do your best day by day. And Jesus belongs there too. We cannot have a sacred secular distinction if we really believe that Jesus is the Lord. So today I want to leave you with the St. Peter's principle. When you go to work, say, Lord, I'm incompetent even to do this job in a way that really matters, unless you meet with me, unless you convict me, shape me. And when you come to the church and you serve in all the different capacities you have, you say, Lord, I'm incompetent for this job, unless your grace overwhelms me, sustains me, directs me. And so I would like to challenge you then to remember it's in that spirit that we will begin to see those extraordinary harvests. Because God doesn't share his glory with another. He delights in showing us that he can do above and beyond all that we can ask or think. He loves humble, broken people that say, Lord, it's for you. I give you myself. Father, would you bless these, my brothers? Thank you for the joy of setting this day and its tone of reminding ourselves that we're here to serve before the only one who's sinless, the only one who's all-powerful, the only one who's all-wise, the only one who's so perfect he's unchanging, the only one who is the ground of his own being, who exists forever and has somehow come to share his world with us. Would you build your church to these, your brothers, who you loved and redeemed? Thank you for calling them. Lord, don't depart from us because we're sinful men. We so need you, for you have the words of everlasting life. To whom will we go except you? So, Lord, as sinful as we are, will you shape us and change us to serve for your glory alone? In Christ's name, amen. God bless you, brethren, and joy to be with you.